Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, into the 7 o'clock hour, Payne and Pendergast with you. A reminder, a couple of things here, programming notes. Bill O'Brien's press conference, 12:20 today on Sports Radio 610 during In the Loop. So he will give you the updates on day three of practice. This will be a Bill O'Brien after practice press conference. So you'll get the latest and greatest on that. Jack Easterby is going to be on with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris on Texans Training Camp Live about an hour from now at 8 o'clock. So be on the lookout for that as well. Texans Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Jack Easterby. Seth, the news dropped on Friday afternoon that the Texans made it official. I don't think this is a big surprise. I'm curious to see how much of the league is doing the same thing the Texans are doing, especially because the team in the same state as the Texans are making plans to put together little pods to have fans in the stadium up in Dallas when the Cowboys season kicks off. But the Texans made it official. They will have no fans in the stands for the Week 2 home opener, probably the toughest home game they have, at least on paper, in terms of opponent this year. The Baltimore Ravens will be played in front of an empty stadium. Your thoughts?
It's not a huge surprise, and I was kind of holding out hope that there'd be 25% allowed. I think that frankly, NFL teams or college teams could do a much better job than, say, restaurants at keeping people and maintaining a certain social distance. There's just a whole lot more space to work with in a stadium like that. But I hate it when people say this, but it is what it is, Sean.
Yeah.
So, look, you're going against the Ravens, obviously a big challenge and a big test, and there's a little bit of hopefully a payback factor from what they did to you last year. The Texans, as everybody knows, open up with the Chiefs, which is a pretty big test. The Ravens open up with the Browns at home. So, look, there's a lot. I think Baker Mayfield, honestly, if you look at Baker Mayfield's stats over the last couple years compared to Lamar Jackson's stats over the course of 2 years, it's a little bit, it's not quite the same thing because Lamar Jackson didn't play a whole bunch his rookie year. I think that people have forgotten how good Baker Mayfield was his rookie year, and that now with an actual offensive coordinator and head coach in Kevin Stefanski, I think there's a chance you're going to see somebody a lot closer to year one Baker Mayfield than year two Baker Mayfield, where everything just, you watched that offense last year, it was just a mess. But regardless, both these teams are going to come in. The Ravens will come into town, and they'll have some new wrinkles. Lamar Jackson, I think, will probably have built on what he can do in the passing game, and it's going to be tough, but the Texans will only have a little bit of film on what it looks like with all of these brand-new wide receivers, with an Anthony Weaver defense. I think there'll still be a little bit of an element of surprise the Texans can use against the Ravens.
Yeah, there's still an element of surprise of what they're doing with Cooks and Cobb and Fuller and 11-on-11 now, because there hasn't been much of it at all in training camp the first couple days. It's been all backup receivers out there.
Yeah, so the backup. So are you saying when you were out there, Deshaun was playing quarterback, but the veteran wide receivers were kind of getting vet days? Or
yeah, well, they I don't know that they were getting full-on vet days. They were in pads, and they were doing the pre-practice drills, yeah, and whatnot. But not a lot, like almost zero. Like I say almost because there may have been a rep that I missed or something like that. But every time I was watching, it was guys, it was the Chad Hansons and the Stevie Mitchells and the QT. QT's looked good, by the way. He's looked good so far as he tries to keep his spot on the team. But yeah, and I think I know where you're going with this. Like, man, how are they going to build chemistry? Like, these are some new pieces for Deshaun. There's no DeAndre Hopkins there anymore. I guess my answer would be we're two practices in. Let's see what the rest of the practices and the scrimmages hold. But yes, as of right now, it appears as though that through two practices, it's not a huge priority to get a look at what they look like with Deshaun and 11 on 11. Put it that way.
And I guess that's two padded practices. So they were practicing before that. And I wonder, and I think that's why O'Brien at the very beginning came out. And I think that was when he said, hey, don't read too much into which guys are up and which guys are down because we've been out here practicing already. I think that they've probably gotten a lot of work on the passing game already, and it just worked out that the timing was, okay, it's time for these guys to get a little bit more of a break. But that might be a good question for O'Brien today, something along the lines of, you know, how many are you going to feel comfortable getting that these guys are going to get enough reps with Deshaun?
Yeah, that is a good one. Press conference today at 12:20 here on Sports Radio 610. So no fans in week two against Baltimore. Hey, look, if the trade-off is that there's minimal fans or no fans at Kansas City and at Pittsburgh in weeks one and three, it's not the worst trade-off in the world. I feel bad for people who have tickets to the game, want to go to the game, but this is the world we live in right now. Seth, have you cleared it with Brandy over the next week or so that you're going to be almost completely unavailable throughout the day, given the schedule that's going on with our teams here? Have you looked at the beautiful schedule that the sports gods have delivered unto us over the next 8 days?
Yeah. Oh, no, Brandy will be cool with it because she's a more adamant. She's canceled plans all the time for the Astros.
Good.
I can catch up on a baseball game with watching the condensed version or DVRing it or anything,
right.
But she insists on sitting there for all – well, this season has been pretty much like all 4.5 hours of most Astros games.
So
by the way, thank you, Kyle Tucker. Thank you, Kyle Tucker. I was in there yesterday. Kyle Tucker's up at the plate, and I had already almost figured, okay, oh, great, more extra innings. And then Kyle
with
Tucker
Josh
walked
James
off.
Warming up.
Well, at least it would have been a short extra inning.
That's true, yeah.
But thank you, Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Thank you with a walk-off home run,
Kyle
Tucker.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we give Kyle Tucker a lot of grief on this show, and that we've gone an hour and 8 minutes and we have not congratulated Kyle Tucker on his walk-off home run yesterday is a bad job by us. So, Seth, here is what the sports gods in Houston, if you're listening, if you're in your car right now and you're driving in and you got the case of the Mondays and you're like, I'm going into work, this is terrible, it's raining outside, it's, you know, I still have to wear a mask and I'm socially distancing, and when are things going to get back to normal again? Let me give you a little bit of good news from the sports gods. Here's what your schedule looks like over the next week or so. Tuesday, you get Astros Rockies at 2:10 p.m. And then if the average Astro game time is in effect, it should just bleed directly right into a 5:30 tip for game one of the Rockets and the Thunder. That's on Tuesday.
That is And then you're getting to bed on time that day too. It's back to back action plus a normal bedtime.
You might, but I'm going to be snorting Lakers and Blazers like it's a line of cocaine off of a stripper's stomach or something like that.
You
got to
pace yourself, man.
I don't know.
Seven games of that series.
I don't know. Okay, so that's Tuesday. Here's Thursday. Thursday, Seth, is a double TV day. You need two TVs because you got Astros Rockies at 2:10 in Colorado. So they're doing a little home and home dealio with the Rockies this week, two here, two there. At 2:30, the Rockets tip off. So you got both Houston teams that are in action playing at the exact same time.
Do you have two TVs? Do you have your multi TV setup installed yet?
It is going to be right down to the wire to get it done by Thursday.
Oh, really?
Right down to the wire.
I know your guy that's doing it is a huge sports fan. He's probably timing it so that he's looking for the like, hey, why don't you stick around? Oh, thanks. Hey, thanks for finishing it at 2:05 p.m. Why don't you stick around to watch both games?
If you don't think that the thought crossing through my mind of making that the offer to get it done quickly is not going to be put in place, then you don't know me well enough yet. All right, so that's Thursday. Saturday. How about this for a Saturday? You go out by the pool all day, you cook out, you do your thing, you day drink, and then at 5 o'clock you get the tip or you listen to Texans training camp special here on Sports Radio 610 from 2 to 6. 5 o'clock Rockets Thunder tip, 8:10 Astros Padres.
Ooh, I might have to smoke my first brisket on Saturday.
Good call.
I'm not sure I'm mentally tough enough to withstand the social media scrutiny, but of my brisket and how poorly it'll turn out.
You don't have to tweet it out.
Kind of feel like I have to.
Yeah,
I'm setting it on the radio now.
Fair enough. And then on Monday, a week from today, game four of the Rockets and Thunder on a Monday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then an Astros Angels game at 8:10.
Yeah. So
that's beautiful.
It's beautiful, and I guess I feel a lot better about it right now than maybe 5 days ago, where I might have been dreading the prospect of what was going on with the Astros. There are reasons for hope right now with the Astros, aside from all the other reasons you were hopeful to begin with. Various players coming back from injury. Look, Yordan's knees, I'm going to put this. Yordan, who's resting his knees right now on the IL, I'm going to put that down to the short ramp-up time, even though he's had knee issues in the past. But Justin Verlander, according to James Click, is going to start throwing this week.
Yeah.
So something that we all thought was not to happen in 2020, there's a chance.
Please. Yeah, that answers the question on the text page. What's the latest on Verlander? Seth just gave it to you. Text message, this show loves cocaine and strippers. I love it. Just to be clear, Seth and I are two happily married men. We love analogies that involve cocaine and strippers. We don't necessarily indulge in those things, just to be clear.
No, I know for a fact. Look, kids, everybody should be terrified of cocaine, but some of you should be more terrified than even the others. I'm extra terrified for myself because I know that I would have, I'd have an issue. I'd be a fiend. My 401k would be gone. I'd have a litany of bruised and battered relationships, a trail of just broken promises behind me. My child would hate me. No way in hell.
There's a lot going on in those previous 19 seconds right there, people. There's a lot going on in those previous 19 seconds.
I've never even come up. Anytime I've walked into a room where there was any of that going on, I fled immediately.
Seth Payne knows.
I know myself.
Nobody knows Seth Payne better than Seth Payne, right? Download the radio.com app. You can bring gold like that with you wherever you go. And the radio.com rewind feature means that if you miss it, you rewind. There's thousands of you using that feature. We got some data the other day that you guys are downloading the show. You're using that rewind feature. You're downloading the app. Good stuff.
Are you and I still kicking ass in podcast downloads?
I think we are. I only saw the overall numbers, but I think we are. We need to get confirmation on that so we can walk around bragging.
We need to start talking. We're going to need to start pimping our podcast. Go to radio. Go down to iTunes, wherever you do it. Just search Payne and Pendergast and subscribe to our podcast.
And give us a 5-star review. That helps.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, do that, please.
Yeah. Give us a 5-star review. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, should the Texans call up an old friend? Oh, no, wait. We're doing that at 7:30. Let's do this. Is John McClain... Is a John McClain tweet a harbinger? I did it again, Ben, didn't I? Yeah. Is a John McClain tweet a harbinger of huge Texans news coming up very, very soon? We will discuss that next. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you have a nice week lined up, as we outlined in the previous segment. Lots of stuff to watch and plenty to listen to here on Sports Radio 610 with our coverage of Texans training camp. Seth, you wanted to correct something you said in the previous
quick correction. Oh, that break was so long and it was agonizing. Thank you to one of our listeners for pointing this out. Apparently, I said that Yordan was on the IL again. He is not. He is not. He's resting his knees, but he is not on the IL.
Yeah.
Yordan Alvarez.
So there you go.
Yeah. I apologize to anybody who had to spend the last 6 minutes either Googling that or thinking it as you drove along.
And I apologize. You slipped that one right past the goalie. I didn't hear you say that. So not on the IL. I'm still a little concerned about the whole Yordan thing, but that's neither here nor there. John McClain tweeted this on Saturday afternoon, Seth. I didn't see it till after we were done with Texans training camp special, which we're doing the next three Saturdays, 2 to 6 on Saturdays, taking you through all kinds of great Texans content here on Sports Radio 610. John McClain tweeted this, just not as a reply, not as a follow-up to another tweet, just as an individual tweet. The Texans are hoping to sign Deshaun Watson and inside linebacker Zach Cunningham to extensions before the season begins, period. That's it. Just out of nowhere, in the middle of the day on a Saturday, a few hours after practice ended, John McClain decides to tweet, the Texans are hoping to sign Deshaun Watson and Zach Cunningham to extensions before the season begins.
And that's one of those ones where, look, if we're just going by the strict literal interpretation of things, you might say, well, yeah, of course they are. Who cares? I think that's a little bit of a canary in the coal mine where you realize, all right, McClain's on to something. And he's not going to tell us exactly what it is, and maybe he's looking for another source or what have you. But if you're concerned at all about Deshaun's status with the team or, whether he can move forward, maybe like what he feels about Bill O'Brien, I don't think any of those things or any concerns anybody has is going to be an impediment to getting this deal done. And I think at this point, given the fact that the Texans renegotiated Angelo Blackson's deal to clear some salary cap space, they've done it with a couple other players this offseason. I think I'm more optimistic I'd say a better than 50% chance right now that Deshaun gets an extension before September.
Yeah, that's where, when I read this tweet, Seth, I thought to myself, okay, this is interesting. We know that they've been working on something with Deshaun, and you mentioned the shuffling of money that's gone around, and it hasn't been big money that's been shuffled, but you had three guys up, and all of a sudden, it's a decent chunk of change. And you know, we'll see how Deshaun structures an extension. You know, Mahomes did a huge extension, but structured it in a way that was very team-friendly for this year and next year before all the big money starts to hit for the Chiefs. I think the interesting thing to me about these two guys, Deshaun Watson and Zach Cunningham, both draft picks in the same draft class. Deshaun, their first-round pick in 2017. Cunningham, their second-round pick in 2017. Look, if you get two second-contract guys in the first and second round in a draft, that's a wildly successful draft, especially when one of them's a quarterback. But with the knowledge that the cap is probably going to go down next year, we don't know how much. We know the most it'll go down will be about 20, 25 million bucks, but really probably more feeling like 30 or 35 million bucks because most teams budget in a cap increase every year, and now you're looking at a cap decrease. The Texans not having fans in the stands in week two is an indicator that we know it's going to go down by something because that's at least one game where the revenue is going to be zero in terms of game day revenue. But what's interesting is around the league where all the teams are dealing with this is that we did see some big contracts get doled out last weekend with Travis Kelce, with George Kittle, Dawkins, the offensive lineman with the Bills. These are all guys who are viewed as top tier guys on their team. And so I think Deshaun is going to get his deal done. We saw Mahomes get his. Deshaun, a cap decrease is not going to affect the Texans' negotiations with Deshaun Watson. Cunningham, right. Real quick, Cunningham is the interesting one to me. Is he viewed as a guy where, boy, we got to get Zach Cunningham lined up, you know, cap decrease be damned?
I think so, if only because O'Brien has shown a willingness and a tendency, I think, to maybe reward, I shouldn't say reward, to pay guys and lock them up before they reach their full potential. And I'm thinking of Nick Martin when I say that, because Nick Martin had showed a lot of promise, but also had been dinged up, so he couldn't really show a whole lot in 2018. I think he was fighting through injuries, and you didn't really see the best version of Nick Martin. But he got a new contract at the beginning of 2019. And I think Nick Martin's contract going into this year and going into next year as more offensive linemen get paid a lot of money, it's going to end up looking like a pretty good deal. At the time, it looked exorbitant, but O'Brien took a calculated gamble on it, and it paid off. I think that's how they feel about Cunningham. I think Cunningham is very, very close to being a genuinely stud inside linebacker. He's not quite there. He's got to take another couple steps, especially in pass coverage. But I like him a lot, and I think he ends up getting paid like one of those upper echelon inside linebackers because O'Brien wants to be sure he locks him up. And then the cap, even though the cap's going to take a hit this year, when you sign a guy like Deshaun or you give a healthy contract to a guy like Zach, you're not looking about how is it going to affect me in 2021. It's how is it going to affect me over the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's they know the cap is likely going to keep going way up after 2021 or, you know, with new TV money. So I don't think those two guys are going to be affected by it all that much.
Real quick question on this. I'm curious just your gut reaction because we know that Texan fans out there have not been wild about Bill O'Brien's offseason as a general manager. If they sign Deshaun to an extension, do you think that changes the outlook at all? I don't think it's going to bring people all the way back on Bill O'Brien, the general manager, but does it make people feel better about the offseason if they get Deshaun locked up to a long-term extension?
I don't think so, because for one, we know once the narrative is written that it takes a whole lot to veer off course of that narrative. I'll refer to James Harden's defense. And I think that I don't think so. And then I would also say at least part of that is correct. Like the impressive stuff that general managers do is, I think, finding the guys on the margins, you know, finding guys who are rookie free agents, late round draft picks, signing guys like Nick Martin. I think that's going to end up being a good move for Bill O'Brien. The marquee guy that gets the going rate, that's like saying, well, hey, I walked in and bought a luxury vehicle for just a little bit less than the sticker price. Give me a pat on the back. They're like, no, you went and paid the going rate for a fine luxury vehicle. That's what you're doing with Deshaun Watson. You're going to pay the going rate for a fine luxury vehicle.
All right, we'll do headlines in the next segment as we roll on Texans training camp coverage. Top of the hour, Jack Easterby is going to join Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. We've got Bill O'Brien's press conference today at 12:20. If you are fired up for football season, keep it right here at Sports Radio 610. And go to sportsradio610.com to view all the articles. I have my summary of the first 2 days of practice and things that we're looking ahead towards. We'll get into that between now and the top of the hour. Also, with Duke Ejiofor now down, should the Texans dial up an old friend? We'll talk about that next. Duke Ejiofor out for the year, the Texans' first season-ending injury at training camp this year. Unfortunate, two straight years now that the young edge rusher has been knocked out really before even getting out of the starting gates on a season. Achilles tear last year, ACL this year. Bill O'Brien asked in his Saturday press conference on playing time now at that edge rusher spot with Duke Ejiofor out.
We talked about that a lot last night. You know, obviously Whitney's been here a long time and you know, we know what he can do, and we're bringing him along at his own ramp-up schedule. Jacob Martin, who we just talked about, you know, his role could increase. Brennan Scarlett, obviously. You know, so you have some guys there that and then John Grenard. You know, John Grenard is getting better and better, works very hard. Long way off, though, as a rookie, just like all the rookies are. But, yeah, I mean, you know, John, I think it's like it's interesting because I think defensively we look at the different skill sets and we try to figure out how each guy fits. And Duke had a very unique skill set. You know, you could use Duke in a lot of different ways. He wasn't just an outside backer. You know, he could do some different things. So I don't know, you know, relative to replacing that exact skill set, I think it's more about, okay, what can these guys do and how can we fit it to what we're trying to do?
You know, one of the things I saw that I thought was kind of curious was people saw that Duke Ejiofor was put on IR. So Duke Ejiofor, a guy that's never played like a meaningful amount of time in the NFL, but has showed some good flashes and good sparks. He goes on the IR, and the immediate response is, hey, maybe they'll bring in Clowney.
I thought the same thing. Right.
I can't think of a bigger insult to Clowney than to say that, hey, maybe Clowney can replace Duke Ejiofor. Although, and then the more I thought about it, it makes a little bit of sense, just in that if you're looking at the roster composition, there's probably some things that they hoped that Duke Ejiofor could do that, frankly, you know, Jacob Martin is a different body type. Jacob Martin's more of a pure pass rusher, but it wouldn't be, okay, now's the time to bring in Clowney because Duke Ejiofor got hurt.
Right.
There's a chance Duke Ejiofor might not have even made the team. So
I crashed my minivan. Someone get me a Lincoln Navigator now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm not saying that as an insult to Duke Ejiofor. I like his upside.
Yeah.
It's just that he's completely unproven at this point.
Right.
Or almost completely unproven.
Well, the Clowney drum has been banged for a while. And I'm with you, Seth. The cause and effect of Duke Ejiofor being the reason that you call Clowney is a tough dot for me to connect. The storyline of Clowney still being out there fascinates me. And he's not going to be a Houston Texan. But Landry has made this case, and I see Anthony Wood, who, by the way, is now the Texans beat for SI.com. He's handling things for them now, so congratulations to him. He's covered the Texans in other capacities for a long time now, so good job by him. He tweeted something out to that effect. Now, he mixed in a couple other names that I think make for an interesting discussion point with all this, because Clowney's still looking for at least $15 to $20 million a year. That's just, I think the Texans are, as we outlined in the previous segment, they've got other designs on what to do with their cap space. And it's going to be Watson, it's going to be Cunningham, and then they'll move forward from there. Clowney is an interesting name that if he and O'Brien were to ever kind of hug and make up with this whole thing, that would be something that I think a lot of Texan fans would feel like would, to some degree, salvage the offseason for them, even on a one-year deal. You know, you bring him in, and he would impact this defense. This defense needs to improve from last year. The names Anthony throws out are Clowney, Clay Matthews, or Jabal Sheard. All kind of different guys, but I think the message is the same with all of them, is they all can get after the passer a little bit just in different ways.
Yeah, Clay Matthews would be a curious one just because I think he'd be trying to I would worry about Clay Matthews just because I think people's expectations as the fans, it would be one of those, it would be kind of like when the Lakers signed Steve Nash. They're like, okay, look,
former
you're not
MVP.
Yeah, exactly. Just so you know, he's not quite the same thing. But he is a guy that's savvy, and I think Anthony Weaver would find good ways to use him.
I think he did have 8 sacks last year. I mean, you know, like he's still a guy who was able to get after the court. Jabal Sheard would be one of those guys, Seth, who would feel like a great signing for the Texans because he has routinely destroyed the Texans. Like one of those signings where like, oh, from what I remember of Jabal Sheard, he's pretty good. Oh, that's right. He had a sack and a half like 2 or 3 different times when he was with the Colts against the Texans. You know what I mean? Like in the rest of the season, he was just sort of a guy. But when he played the Texans, he was really, really good.
You know, the thing about Clay Matthews getting 8 sacks last year, I think it probably just goes to show you the value of veteran savvy. And I think that because honestly, from when I watched him and like, okay, let me look at the – I don't like to put too much stock in the Pro Football Focus grades. I like Pro Football Focus, but the grades are a little bit – but, yeah, looking at the Pro Football Focus grades, it kind of matches up with what I saw on film. But just because you're not the stud you used to be, you can still make plays. You know, you can still come up when the opportunities present themselves. I just don't think that – he's not the guy that you necessarily need out there as your starter, unless you get him at a really good price with a lot of incentive, based deals. They drafted Jonathan Grenard. You know, they gave Brennan Scarlett an extension. They have Jacob Martin who can play in spells and maybe takes a step forward in how well he plays the run this year. We'll see. I don't think there's probably a huge desperation right this moment to bring in a name guy, so to speak. But we'll see. Maybe if Jonathan Grenard doesn't pick things up as quickly or doesn't show the speed that they hope that he has, then they might change their minds over the course of the next few weeks.
Do you think Clowney plays this year?
Yeah, I think he plays. Okay. But I don't think Clowney likes going to training camp. And look, don't get me wrong, nobody likes going to training camp. But I think there might be a little bit of a Walter Jones to him.
He really doesn't like going to training camp.
Remember, Walter Jones would get franchise tagged every year, and he'd say, cool, I'll see you late August or so, okay? And then he'd show up. Now, and Walter Jones would, you know, he showed up in shape. He was doing that workout he did where he pushed and pulled a car all over the place.
Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, and then he'd come out and dominate. But he just did not like training camp. And I think Clowney doesn't like training camp all that much.
The reason I ask is there was an article on ESPN .com. The writer's last name is Martin. It's a female writer. I think it's Angela Angela Martin's in The Office. I forget her first name, this writer. Last name is Martin. She said that the scuttlebutt around the league is that, one, Clowney still wants too much money. Two, if he keeps wanting this much money, he's going to be settling for like half of what he's asking for if he wants to play, because teams are now all of a sudden you've injected this pandemic-induced cap reduction next year into the mix, so Clowney becomes less of a priority for teams that have not kick tires on him and had him in the building yet. B, or C, I should say, thirdly, is that there's rumor around the league or a buzz around the league that Clowney might end up just holding out this year. Like, he may end up just saying, you know what, of all the years to do it, this might be the year the pandemic's going on. He's got the excuse. He could say, you know what, I'm going to opt out of this year.
That's not holding out, but just sit out.
Sit out, yeah.
Sitting out this year. If he tried to frame it in because of the pandemic or something, that would be interesting. I don't think I'd be buying that one.
No, it would be fairly transparent to me. Like, he would actually
just sit out. But then, I wonder if he's played that out in his mind, though. Okay, if you're going to sit out because you're not getting the offer you like, there's a chance you still don't get the offer you want next March. He could sign in January. I guess that would be one advantage. He doesn't have to wait for free agency to begin.
Has Clowney, or I'll add Bus Cook into this, his agent too, have they played any of this out in their minds? Because this has been... He's really dug in on what he thinks his value is, and the league has sent the message back, we disagree with you. You know, we disagree, but he seems dug in on all this.
So I was talking to Tiki Barber last week, and it was a litany of me confronting all the things that I've kind of just grown comfortable with. Because it was like, so, Seth, so you guys like cool with the DeAndre Hopkins trade? He explained the DeAndre Hopkins trade for his listeners, and then he was like, so Seth, how are you guys there in Houston feeling it? And I was like, well, when I listen to everything you just said, I don't feel good about it at all. And I haven't felt great about it for some time, but you learn to live with it, you know, and you kind of... It was like if I had a hideous mole on my face,
right,
and I lived in seclusion for 3 months and kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then I go out into public and all of a sudden somebody's staring at the mole on my face. I'm confronted with the mole on my face once more. Likewise, that's how I feel about that DeAndre Hopkins trade. And then he asked me something else that was kind of a confusing thing to try to explain to an outsider. And then we got to Jadeveon Clowney. I said, well, funny you should ask me yet another question that I can't quite explain about Jadeveon Clowney, but the fact of the matter is, look, on Sundays he plays his ass off. I don't know what he does Monday through Saturday, but it doesn't seem like Bill O'Brien's all that enthused with it, and that he's got more of an impact on the game than the traditional stats suggest. But you don't get paid you still don't get paid in the NFL based on advanced stats.
Right.
You get paid based on sacks. You know, whether it's whether that's fair or right or not, or if that's actually the way you should be measuring it. He doesn't have the sacks.
So the way you couched this was you talked to Tiki Barber last week. Does he still have a radio show, or is he a therapist now? Like, it sounds like like you laid down on a couch and did a therapy session with somebody.
I was on his radio show.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And I was trying, but I tried to go into those things. I was like, okay, I'm not getting interviewed. I'm just having a conversation with Tiki. That's how I try to prep myself so I don't sound like an announcer guy.
I think it's a good way to do it, especially when it's a former player. I love listening to former players talk to each other. That's when you and Ted used to do the show back before I was with the station here in 2012 and 2013. It was awesome. The Seth and Ted's Excellent Adventure or whatever it was. That was really good. It was just two football players chopping it up. It was cool. I like that.
Yeah, plus Ted's got a really good knack for remembering things that only a player would remember about just the way the game feels and everything. So I always, I enjoy it just for my own personal benefit. The thing with Tiki is that we both played for Tom Coughlin.
Oh, yeah.
So usually what happens when Tiki and I are together is it turns into like two women who share a common ex-boyfriend who is a jerk or something, and they just sit with a couple glasses of Chardonnay and chat and laugh about what a jerk he was. That's kind of Tiki and me with Tom Coughlin.
That's great. text message, Matthews and Cushing connection. Yeah, Cushing is still out there at practice. He's still an assistant coach. It was weird, Seth. Cushing was standing during one of the drills. He always stands with the linebackers. He was standing next to whoever the new dude is who's wearing number 56, undrafted guy or whatever wearing number 56. I'm like, that looks just awkward to me. You know, Cushing, it's not been that long since he was a player, and Cushing feels like one of those guys the Texans think highly enough of to keep number 56 off of somebody's back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was weird watching Cushing standing next to, is that who it was, Ian Johnson?
Yeah, it's Jan Johnson, according to our lads.
Jan Johnson, okay, yeah. So it was.
You know why? Went to Penn State. Bill O'Brien's like, I don't know, he looked Cushing. Love you and all, but this is a Penn State guy. I recruited him.
Yeah.
Or I at least, now these kids are so young.
Yeah.
I watched him at a senior camp or something while I was at Penn State.
Yep. So that was awkward. Cushing standing next to number 56. Let's get in some headlines before we get to the top of the hour here.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
A reminder that top of the hour, Jack Easterby will join Mark Vandermeer and John Harris on Texans training camp. Live, Bill O'Brien, 12:20 today, his press conference on In the Loop. The Astros, Seth, thank God for the Seattle Mariners. The Astros moved to 11-10 on the season. They're back in second place in the AL West. The A's are still a healthy distance in front of them. But in this weird 2020 season, second place in the division is going to be enough to get you into the postseason. The Astros, 11-10. Seth, they sweep the Mariners. Competitive series, 2-1 on Saturday night. A walk-off home run from Kyle Tucker to win 3-2. Yesterday, Lance McCullers pretty good on the mound yesterday. Christian Javier, was good to see him get back in a groove on Saturday. So they get the sweep. They're 6-1 against the Mariners. They're 5-9 against everybody else. They're only going to see the Mariners one more time this year, unfortunately. Seth, I would say the big feeling coming away from the weekend, though, for me, was a little bit of concern about Yordan Alvarez, who it was so cool to see him back on Friday. Hits a 3-run home run in his first at-bat since coming back from Corpus Christi. But by the end of the weekend, he was sidelined with knee soreness. What's your level of concern on Yordan right now?
Mine, it's more of a long-term concern for Yordan Alvarez because this is a common story by now, right? Yordan's knees are sore. And it did not, when he tried to slide into third base in that game, it didn't look comfortable, man. I can't with 100% confidence say, hey, he's going to be around all season long, or I guess if you can just get him into the playoffs, that's my hope at this point. Hey, rest of the team, be good enough to win without Yordan more times than not, and just have Yordan healthy and shoot his knees up with whatever you got to get through the playoffs.
This is where the expanded playoffs kind of do give you an opportunity to do that with certain guys. It does does give you the opportunity to load manage a little bit. If you're the Astros, especially if the A's start to take a massive lead in the division, and the Rangers start to fall off a little bit, and you got the Angels and the Mariners who aren't very good in there, and it's very clear you're going to be second place in the division, is just make sure you get to October healthy and then let the chips fall where they may, especially if there's no fans in the stands in any of these seasons. Hell, the playoffs might go to a bubble, Seth.
Yeah.
In the major leagues.
Yeah.
So, just let Yordan just rake, and then he can jog around the bases. He can walk around the bases for all I care. Next headline, Rockets playoffs start tomorrow. The NBA playoffs in total start today. And if you are a basketball junkie, I'm not saying you root for a pandemic, but man, the pandemic has handed you a great gift in August here. Not only playoff basketball, but playoff basketball on weekdays, it begin at lunchtime and end sometime around the time everybody in your house is in bed. It's going to be awesome for the next 2 weeks with just basketball from beginning to end of the day. The Rockets don't get started till tomorrow. It's a 5:30 tip for them tomorrow, but all their tip-offs are in the afternoons during this first round, at least so far, first four games of that Thunder series. Everything else is TBD. But the Rockets get started tomorrow. Seth, the big story with the Rockets, like with the Astros with Jordan, it's Russ dealing with this quad injury. And Mike D'Antoni did confirm yesterday, Russ is definitely going to miss game one, and then they're going to go from there.
Yeah, and I guess it's which guy is going to be the hero at this point. Because James Harden is going to draw double teams at midcourt like he has been, except even more so now. The pace will slow down a little bit, and I don't think it can, especially maybe when Harden is off the court. These guys got to remember that they are a blitzing, penetrating offense and defense, and figure out a way to do it without Russell Westbrook and create more of those open shots. Who's the most likely, unlikely hero, I guess, of all the guys that aren't your top three or four? I'm going to say, because I won't include Eric Gordon in it. I'd say Austin Rivers for me.
Austin Rivers is a good one. I'm going to say Jeff Green.
Ooh, okay.
Jeff Green, veteran guy. He's got a little burr in his saddle over OKC probably as well. He used to play there, so that's a good little sub-storyline in terms of emotion for this series. He's a veteran guy, can knock down shots, can get to the rim, can defend a bunch of different positions on the floor. If you're taking Russ's 36 or 37 minutes a game and you're going, okay, how do those get divvied up? That's really the question, right? Like, okay, how do we divvy those up? I think some of them are going to be Harden, quite honestly. Like, Harden may have to go 40 minutes plus in this series if they're going to win some of these games. But I think Jeff Green is my guy. That's a great question because there's a lot of guys with similar skill sets on this team.
A lot of guys with similar skill sets. And if I always go back to those Miami Heat championships where whether it was a Mike Miller or somebody, or just Shane Battier at times, the guys that either get hot from three or able to make the clutch shots in various moments. That's what this year they might be set up for that better than any other of the Rockets are, to have a few of those unlikely heroes because they flat out have to. I mean, this is what they are. They're a volume shooting 3-point team. And at some point to ultimately win, I think one of these guys is going to have to go off and have 10 three-pointers in a game.
Eric Gordon is going to draw the Chris Paul assignment, reportedly. I like that. Gordon, kind of a physical defender, muscle up on Chris Paul a little bit. Seth, I'll say this. When you asked me that question, I went directly to the bench. But if we're just talking about guys who are not necessarily considered one of the top two or three scorers on the team, Robert Covington has the biggest delta on this team between performance and efficiency while he's on the court and while he's off the court. It's about a 17 or 18 points per 100 possession difference for Covington.
Yeah. That defense makes such a difference, especially given the composition of this team. But then also offensively for him, there's still times where you feel he hasn't fully grasped the whole, hey, you've got a green light all the time.
Yep.
You know, and it's weird because it bucks against all of what you want to say about basketball and everything. But like, no, we don't care, Covington, that you've missed your last 5 3-point attempts. You've got an open shot. Take it.
Yep. Next headline, Seth, pretty cool video circulating on social media over the weekend of Washington football team quarterback Alex Smith walking out the front door of his house into his driveway, and his kids and his wife and some friends are waiting there with what looked like champagne bottles, although Sunday morning a little early to be spraying champagne around. It could have been a garden hose. Whatever the case.
Especially your 6-year-old child,
yeah,
doing it too.
It's a little edgy.
I was impressed. Yeah, they were in Europe, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
You don't know. Well, the reason
they all start drinking at like 4 over there.
The reason why there was such a celebration going on is because Sunday morning Alex Smith was activated from the PUP list by Washington. And he is now on their roster for camp. And if you're wondering why that is significant, why it's worthy of a champagne celebration with his family, I just would recommend you go back to the Game Pass video or YouTube video of J.J. Watt and Kareem Jackson rolling up Alex Smith back in November of 2018. And then go read the stories and look at the videos of his recovery since then. Alex Smith almost died from an infection from the surgeries on his leg. He had 17 surgeries on a leg that almost had to be amputated when it was broken on that play. And he is back now, and he is looking to play football again. Seth, I said this on my CBS show yesterday. I don't care if he plays a snap. He is Clinch Comeback Player of the Year for me. Coming back, I mean, when you go look at the pictures and the video of those injuries were the most gruesome thing I've ever seen on a human leg.
I guess maybe, boy, I feel like a jerk saying this now. I need to see a snap out of him, Sean.
At least one?
Maybe it's just my knee-jerk, you know, nervousness about somebody that I saw all those injuries and everything. I thought as he was running away from his child, I don't think he looked as nearly as elusive as I need him to look before he gets out on
a
football
field. He's playing possum, Seth. He's just playing possum.
I felt like he was – that's awesome that he made it back. I'm glad that he's alive, right, or that he got to keep his leg. I'm going to be super, super nervous the first time I see him play football if he gets in as a backup or something like that. And I also wonder, too, look – Alex Smith's athleticism was a huge part of his game.
Yeah, that's true.
And I do wonder, okay, maybe this ultimately ends up, he might have to come back as a different type of quarterback. I'd be surprised if he has that same athleticism when he comes back.
The comparison I made for Washington, Seth, is they've kind of moved on already, haven't they? I mean, they've invested a first-round pick in Dwayne Haskins. He's their guy. And the analogy I made, you've seen the movie Castaway? You know where Tom Hanks comes back from being, you know, he's on an island for 5 years? And he comes back and Helen Hunt is remarried to the guy who played Big on Sex and the City?
Yeah, to a guy who, by the way, is just way too cool about his
smarmy
wife.
Jerk.
Was he? I thought he was just like, oh, hey, cool, yeah, go hang out with my wife. I know you two are about to get married and everything.
Well, he
was
a jerk at first. Remember, she wanted to see him when he came. She wanted to see Tom Hanks when he came back, and he went in and talked to Tom Hanks in her stead. And then they showed her out the window once he went back outside. She was crying, and she wanted to go back inside and see him, and he kept grabbing her and putting her back in the car.
Oh, he did?
Yes!
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, yeah.
I would too, man. Yeah. She was the last time she saw Tom Hanks. I don't know if I would forcefully put her back in the car like that. Yeah. The last time she saw Tom Hanks, she was playing. They were going to get married.
Right.
Like, that was the whole thing. Then she thought he was dead, and then he comes back.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't have blamed her for just doing whatever she felt like doing at that moment.
My analogy, Alex Smith is Tom Hanks, and Dwayne Haskins is the jerky, smarmy new husband. So there you go.
I got to watch that this afternoon now. Thanks for that.
Great big jerk face. At least I thought it was. All right. You can take the music down there, Ben. So, Seth, we got about a minute here. Texans camp getting going again today. Practice is going. Things I will be looking for rapid fire real quick. Will David Johnson keep ascending? Which rookies will flash? These will all be things we can talk about tomorrow on the show. Will we see some of these guys do more? J.J. Watt, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller. And can we keep the COVID sheet clean as well? So those will all be things I'll be keeping an eye on. And you text me anything you want me to keep an eye on out there.
Awesome. Enjoy your time being one of the chosen few, one of the exclusive, the only radio personality in Houston who's allowed inside the media bubble over there.
I am the eyes and ears of this institution. Seth, I appreciate it.
You need to start wearing a gold chain or something.
I know. I need to show off more is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Seth, I'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m., my friend.
Antibodies to you.
Antibodies to you. Jack Easterby in just a few minutes here on Texans Training Camp Live. It's up next. Bill O'Brien, 12:20. We'll see you tomorrow at 6, everybody.
All right, whatever, dude.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.